Monday, November 26, 1990, 3:45 p.m. I needed to take control of a dangerous tumbling situation. She presented the worst threat I have ever experienced. I waited for her to return to the run-down little cottage where she lived. Her old car struggled up the hill. While she parked awkwardly too far from the curb, I assumed a bland expression, getting out of the big white rental car to approach her. She turned around, arms full of groceries. "Why are you here?" I couldn't answer, naturally. All hell would certainly break loose on this quiet street, so I lied, trying to keep that exterior calm of hers going long enough for me to get her into the car. But she was too smart, onto me somehow, spooked, but not sure. She jabbed her key in the lock with her right hand. "I'll just drop my groceries inside." And drop them she did. Glass shattered, and some clear liquid pooled on the worn wooden floor. She tried to close the door in my face, but she's relatively feeble. I shoved my way in behind her. I showed her the gun, told her we were going for a ride. There were things we needed to discuss. There was no need for her to get worked up. She asked to make a phone call. I told her to go out the door. She had guts. She definitely caught me off guard, taking off like a young and nimble runner, dashing for the kitchen. By the time I overcame my surprise at her ability to move so fast and followed her, she held a big butcher knife. "Get out of my house!" I could shoot her right then and there, but I had a better plan. I stepped straight toward her, slapped the knife away with the butt of my gun, slapped her face, not too hard, just letting her know where we stood, and watched her wince at the pain. She locked up carefully. We walked down the steps, me following her, gun hidden but present. She climbed into the car without another word. We drove in silence past Carmel on Highway 1. I kept one hand on the wheel, the other on my gun. The only sign of her fear was the way her hand gripped the dash as we took the curves. I glanced sideways at her, watching her look out the car window to her right. Carmel Highlands lay behind us now, and she scanned the gray sea off Garrapata Beach. "I didn't think my life could get any worse. Just goes to show. Are you going to shoot me?" I didn't bother to answer. "Where are you taking me? At least tell me that." Just then we swung around a sharp curve. Bixby Creek Bridge lay ahead of us. I saw the scenic turnoff on the cliffside where tourists stop and admire the view of the old Depression-era bridge between two cliffs. It's steep by the turnoff, several hundred feet, a vertiginous drop to a confluence of Bixby Creek and the Pacific Ocean. I pulled over and stopped the car. A stiff wind harassed the low brush on the hillside on the other side of the road. The ocean glittered far out, and I could see cloud shadows racing down from the north. The hairs on my skin stood up like tiny needles, irritated by the weather. I waited for a good long break in the occasional line of cars, then told her to get the fuck out. Slowly, laboriously, she took her seatbelt off, adjusted the strap of her bag on her shoulder, and buttoned her jacket. She emerged too slowly, blinking in the cold breeze. I took her arm and led her the few feet to the edge. She opened her mouth to shout something into the wind. A wayward sports car passed, swerving along the curve. I ducked behind the car so that anyone in that car would see only one person. She stood about 3 feet in front of me, right at the edge. I found her back insulting. She had no right to hide the mortal fear she must be feeling. I rushed at her, hitting her with my shoulder like a linebacker hard. She toppled away while I caught myself, fell to my knees. She disappeared. Her last shriek, animalistic, harsh, and loud, startled me. But she had time only for that one final sound, heard only by the two of us, muffled by the sound of distant surf. I jumped back into the car and turned around and headed north again. A semi roared south as I rounded a turn, and I almost sideswiped him in my excitement. For the rest of the way, I made an effort to drive extremely carefully, hugging the mountainside of the road. Yes, first, this fast breathing, this feeling that I had been very close to the edge myself. Then, I don't know, some glee, ruefulness, regret, I guess. And finally, relief. The worst was over.